when I was in high school. I had a very short friendship, and honestly, I can't even remember the guy's name at this point. It's been too many years, because I think we were probably friends for 2 or 3 months. That was it. I don't even remember how he came into my life. I know he had a lot of issues at home. He left his house. At 16 years old, he was living on the street. And I remember a couple of times he asked to sleep in my truck that was parked out front of my parents' house. And I was Mr. Nice Guy. I let him. And I said, sure, you know what? You could sleep there. I said, but you got to be out before anyone wakes up. And so he did that. And I remember one day in particular, I was giving him a ride to school, and he had his backpack. He actually pulled out a gun, not to aim it at me, but he thought it was great. And we're driving to school, and we passed a couple of ladies that were walking on the side of the road, and he hangs it out the window pointing at them. And I was a little upset about that. I told him, you know, I can't remember everything I said, but made him put it away. Got to school. I thought, that's the end of it. I got to get rid of this guy because he is going to get me in trouble. A little bit later on in class, all of a sudden there were a couple of police officers that showed up at the door, and I didn't think anything about it until they asked for me. And apparently... The ladies that were walking got the license plate to my truck and turned it in. And I don't blame them for doing that. And so I'm going to the door, knees knocking, scared. And let me tell you, I ratted on that guy faster than you could shake a stick at. And they knew who he was. So they definitely put the fear of God in me. And I was done with that relationship with that guy for sure. After that, I'm like, I can't hang around this guy. Every time I get around him, trouble comes around. How many of you ever had a friend like that? How many of you have been that friend, right? I mean, I remember reading this verse a couple of years later when I was in Bible college, and it really made sense to me out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Basically saying, hey, let's party, right? Life's one big party. But it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And I remember like just hanging on to that and realizing that who I hang around with really makes a difference. And it doesn't mean that you cut off every relationship, but it does mean that you need to change sometimes those people that are closest to you. And let me just say this. I was not always the innocent one either. Sometimes I was the bad company, right? If you can attest to that, give me a comment in the section like, yes, that was me sometimes. And I'm just going to give a story. When I was in seventh grade, my best friend at that time, Derek, still a good friend of mine, he was always like the good kid and never really getting into trouble unless he was hanging around me. And we were in the back of the classroom, and I remember this distinctly because liquid paper had just come out. It was like a new product, and he had his, and I had mine, and so I started a liquid paper fight with him. And I got a little bit of it, like marked it on his arm. You know, he pulls his out, marks it back at me, and we did this. I won the liquid paper fight. And he had some on his face, he had it on his shirt, on his arms, and then all of a sudden the teacher called him up because he had to go to the office to pick something up, and he had to walk up there with liquid paper all over him, and guess who got in trouble for that, right? I got him in trouble. So let me say, sometimes you hang around people that are the bad company, sometimes you might be the bad company, so we have to be careful about that. And if you're like most people, some of you guys grew up and you had moms and dads that watched over your friends, and the ones that were a bad influence on you, that led you in the wrong direction, they would like get them out of your life. I'm sure some of you understand that. And you may not have liked it at the time, but as we get older, we're like, yeah, that was probably a good decision. And if you look back on some of the mistakes you made in life, you probably made them because of the people that you are around. You were hanging around the wrong people, whether it was you or whatever. And let me just say this. You do stupid things when you hang around stupid people. It's just kind of how it is. So the question is, how do you recognize people that don't really have your best interest at heart. You're going to have people come into your life, have had people come into your life, and want to develop a relationship and a friendship with you, but their intent is not for your best interest. Actually, they will want to divert you from the plan of God in your life. And so, like I said earlier, the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at this story out of 2 Samuel, where, and I'm just going to give you a real fast recap if you haven't been watching it. David and King Saul were arch enemies. Saul was the king, and David was anointed to be the next king, which would cause a little bit of conflict there. Saul was not happy about that, but through it all, David and Saul's son Jonathan became the best of friends, and they made a covenant agreement with each other that they would watch out for each other and their descendants. So years after Jonathan's death, David searched for somebody in Jonathan's family that he could keep his promise, and so he found out about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was dropped as a child. It caused him to be crippled for the rest of his life. But he survived a battle that killed pretty much the rest of his family. And he had been hiding in a wilderness for years. He was basically the last surviving member of Saul's family, as far as we know, David's enemy. So today, we're going to look at a part of the story that a lot of times people miss, because there's a villain in this story. How many of you like when there's a story, there's a villain? There was one that a lot of people don't always notice unless you read the entire book of 2 Samuel. And when David started looking for a descendant of Saul, he questioned a man named Ziba, who once worked for King Saul. And David assigned Ziba and his family as servants to care for Mephibosheth. And at that point, all seemed well. But as you see, as the story plays out, Ziba's true character comes to light, because he manipulated, he lied, he cheated, he deceived with great effectiveness. He plotted and schemed to destroy everything that Mephibosheth had gained. So once again, a lot of Old Testament stories are things that give a foreshadow to something in the New Testament, a type of something. And so let me just describe Mephibosheth in this story is a type of you and I, that, without God, we're in a place of abandonment, away from God, a place of isolation. David is representing God in this story, because without King David, Mephibosheth would have stayed where he was at. And I think that's the same thing true with us. We don't deserve God's grace. We never earn God's grace, but God has given us a seat at this table. Ziba is a type of Satan, or the people that Satan uses to keep us out of God's house, out of God's blessing. There are all kinds of Zebas in this life. People, through their actions, their words, their deceptions, they try to lead us down the wrong path, away from God's plan. But let me say this, God's grace is extended to everybody. But all of the Zebas in life will try to keep you from that gift. So we got to be careful. So once again, as we get into this story, I want to show you characteristics of the people who will work against God's plan in your life. And so we're going to refer to them as Zebas. When I say a Zeba, just know that's a person that is working, whether they know it intentionally or unintentionally, to keep you out of God's plan. If you've had a pattern of unhealthy relationships, or if you've had broken relationships, I want you to listen, because you're probably going to recognize some of these characteristics. So let's get back into this story. Verse 1, David asked, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" Ziba replies, "Your servant." Now, because we know the rest of the story, we realize that he was lying there. Ziba was never David's servant. He was loyal to Saul. After that had all fallen apart, he was not loyal to anybody. But he said that anyway. Somehow Ziba managed to survive when the house of Saul fell. And like I said, we know the end of the story is Ziba is only pretending to be loyal. And I want to say this, the Zebas in your life will do the same thing, that they will pretend to be loyal in order to gain favor. They're going to act like, "I'm your best friend, I love you, I'm here for you, I've got great intentions, all the while they're hiding their true agenda. And let me say this, we should know better. There's a lot of people that do that. It works. It works all the time. People, oh yeah, they're for me. They're on my side. I can say this, a number of years ago, Pastor Colleen and I, we were at a church. We were fairly new at this church. I'm not saying where, but there was a couple in the church that would give us random gifts at different times. They would invite us over. They were really kind. They would say these wonderful things about my wife and about myself. And I remember this one point, my wife made this statement. She goes, there's strings attached to this gift, what they're doing. And I was a little bit naive. I'm thinking, nah, they're just nice people. They're just being kind. They're just showing their love. But somehow the Lord was showing her there was a deeper motivation. Because there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. There's nothing wrong with saying nice things. But how many of you know, sometimes people do it with hidden motives. Hidden attitudes. And sure enough, over time, this couple proved to be the strings of everything that they wanted to do. They wanted control. They wanted influence on how things were going to happen. When they didn't get what they wanted, they left mad. Imagine that. So this is kind of how it works. Someone tells you what you want to hear. Oh, you're amazing. And I remember here, you're such an amazing preacher. Oh, Pastor Colleen, you sing so wonderfully. Can you do that? Can you do, you know, I like to hear things like that, right? I don't want, man, you know what? That was probably the worst sermon I think I've ever heard. You know what? I got a good hour's sleep out of that one. We don't want to hear that. So here's the thing. Zebas will tell you what you want to hear. The people in your life, when you have people telling you what you want to hear, don't automatically think, oh, they're a Zeba. But I think you need to keep your antennas up and say, okay, Lord, show me discernment. Because Zebas, they'll do that. Be careful. Let me say this. Just because someone tells you what you want to hear doesn't mean they have your best interest at heart. Right? It doesn't mean that. So let's move on. Verse 3. The king asked, is there no one left from the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? Look what he's saying. He's talking to Ziba. Is there anyone? He's saying, I want to show kindness. And Ziba answers the king, there is still a son of Jonathan, and he's crippled in both feet. Now, immediately I think, why did he mention that last part? Because we already know that in that time, people that have handicaps, they were not looked favorably upon. They felt like, oh, they got what they deserved because they sinned or somebody else sinned. Why did Ziba have to announce that he was crippled in both feet? Because David didn't ask that. David didn't say, is there anyone left in the house of Saul and what is their physical condition? He didn't ask that. So Ziba announces his major flaw. Oh, you know what? There is Mephibosheth. There's a son, but he is handicapped. He's got an issue, and I want to tell you this, Zebas in your life will do the same thing. They will be quick to point out the faults in others. Doesn't matter who it is. In order to make themselves look better, they'll get on your side. They're going to talk about leaders. They'll talk about friends. They'll talk about churches, other people. Let me just say this. When somebody comes to church, maybe they're new, and all they want to do is trash the last church that they were a part of. And let me say, I've had people do that. I know automatically there's a danger sign right there. Things didn't end well. They didn't, and what's going to eventually happen is that they're going to leave here and they're going to talk bad about us. That's just kind of how it is. And you know, they'll say things like, oh, you know what? They didn't treat me fair. What they did was wrong to me. If you knew the real story, right? If you knew the story behind the story, because I know what's really happening. Listen, anytime people say things like that, it's time to run. That's the classic line of a manipulator. They didn't support me, and they're not going to support you. They're mean, they're spiteful, whatever. People don't really want to be around that. Listen, don't surround yourself with people like that. They will seek to gain favor by criticizing others. And I just want to say, don't tolerate it. You can shut them down like, hey, listen, I don't really want to hear that. If you can't shut them down, it's time just to get away. Like, I'm not going to hang around that. I'm not going to listen to that. Don't be a party to the sin of what's going on. I mean, let's be real. As soon as you're gone, they're going to be talking about you. And let me just say this, there probably already are. Even while they're your friend, they're probably talking about you at the same time they're talking about somebody. So listen, if you learn only one thing out of this message, people that are negative to others, about others to you, will be negative about you to others. That's just kind of how we have learned this this principle in life. Like if they're willing to gossip and slander someone else, they're going to do the same thing to us. Listen, when you listen to other people that are doing that, one day you're going to be the target. And I honestly believe that weak, insecure people lead others by attacking someone else. Sometimes I even hear pastors that will say things like, oh, you know what, that church, and then they'll begin to tear down that church. Oh, and this church is this, and they'll tear down that church. Oh, this pastor. And so, you know, they can only build themselves up by tearing down the other churches. Oh, that's their weakness. That's their thing. Listen, they do it because of fear and manipulation are the only way they know how to lead. So that's a Ziba in your life. Let's move on. Verse 9. Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops. Like, Ziba's thinking, wait a minute, what? I got my sons and my servants are going to do that? And he goes, and Mephibosheth's grandson, your master, will always eat at my table. Now, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants that, guess what, all of a sudden are now servants of Mephibosheth. All at once, like Ziba's living his own life, has all of his sons, all of his servants, but had things played out and Saul stayed king, guess what? Ziba would have been Mephibosheth's servant if things would have continued to play out. But because Saul's kingdom fell apart, he was just doing his own thing. And let's look and see what happened. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. He didn't say, oh, king, I would be honored to be able to do that. Thank you for this great honor. Mephibosheth will be my master. Instead, he said, your servant will do whatever you command me. I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to like it, right? If you make me, I'll do it, right? And what we get with that is that we get a look into Ziba's attitude. And his attitude reveals character. How many of you realize your attitude will reveal your character, right? All the time. You can count on it. Character is always revealed by our attitude. They're just connected. Your attitude is a window into your character, what it really looks like. And listen, you can make excuses for yourself or for other people's attitudes like, oh, you know what? He just has a bad temper, but he's a really great guy, right? He just has a bad temper. Oh, you know what? She's always talked like that. She's not really a gossip. It's just kind of how she lives her life. Listen, we can make excuses, but our attitude, whatever it may be, reveals who we really are. And so we got to be careful. The best way to find out, like, and there's a dispute, and let me say, you know, over the years, we've had to deal with disputes. And usually the one that has the right attitude is the one that has the right character. They're usually right in it. And so here's the thing. Zebas will reveal themselves by their attitudes and by their accusations. Like if one person, if there's a disagreement, one person is only hurling accusation and the other person is quiet and humble, guess which one is probably right? Right? If one person's attitude is honoring God and the other one is critical and gossipy and spreading all of that, listen, we've got to run from bad attitudes. It will save our character. We can't get sucked down into that. So let's jump ahead. We were in chapter 9. Now all of a sudden we're in chapter 16. And what we have to realize, the rest of this story, this is several years later, after David had already brought Mephibosheth into his household. Now King David's son Absalom has risen up trying to overthrow. So David is leaving Jerusalem with his family. Really, he was in a place of weeping, like, how did everything get to this point? And it says, when David had gone a short distance, leaving Jerusalem, beyond the summit, there was Ziba. There he was, the steward of Mephibosheth, waiting to meet him. He had a string of donkeys saddled and loaded with 200 loaves of bread, 100 cakes of raisin, 100 cakes of figs, and wine. And that sounds really nice, right? Here's the only problem with that. Ziba was giving away Mephibosheth's stuff, right? He didn't say, my master has sent all of this stuff to you. He basically stole Mephibosheth's blessing and gave it away. And Ziba, he was supposed to have been the steward. Notice it right there. He's supposed to have been the one looking after Mephibosheth's stuff, but he was an unfaithful steward. And I think that's important for us to realize that Zebas are poor stewards. Whatever the situation, they are unfaithful. Listen, all you got to do is read a few of the parables of Jesus. We are called to be stewards of the things that God has put in our charge. And if we're unfaithful in that, if we're not faithful with not just our possessions, but I believe our time, I believe the talents and the things that God gives us, then we're an unfaithful steward as well. And that's a revelation there. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're not married and you're getting married, and I'm not talking about my son and his soon-to-be wife, but don't marry somebody that's a non-tither. If they're an unfaithful steward, you better get away. Because if they're not faithful there, what makes you think they're going to be faithful other places? And certainly never go into business with a non-tither. Right? And this is kind of something that Pastor Colleen was like, why do we need to be a giver? Because if somebody is a taker and not a giver, they are probably not looking at your best interests. A lot of people in life, we're takers, right? What do I get out of this? What do I get? God is a giver. And you know, the scripture says more times than the word love is how much God gave. Remember the scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And until we learn to be a giver, then we fall in one of those two categories. Am I a taker or am I a giver? So that's important. That's a sign. It's not the only one, but we need to watch that. So let's move on. The king asked Ziba, why have you brought all of these? Ziba answered, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on. The bread and the fruit are for the men to eat. And the wine is to refresh those who become exhausted in the desert. Now listen, in a difficult time for David, Ziba sensed an opportunity for advancement. Like, oh, you know what? David's at a weak place. Let me begin to play into that. And he's basically saying, hey, look at me, king. I'm here for you. I know everybody else is abandoning you. Everybody else is going, but listen, I want you to remember that I'm here. I'm the one that's providing all of this. But the only problem was he wasn't providing it. He was using Mephibosheth's stuff to buy his friendship. He none of it belonged to him in the first place. And so we need to beware of people who try to buy your friendship. Kind of like the couple I told you earlier. They're going to give you gifts. You know what? They're going to spend. Oh, man, they spend so much time. They really care. I can't tell you how many people we've seen that do not have people's best interests that give, whether it's time or gifts or whatever, into a relationship, but they have other motives that are going on. So Zebas will try to buy your friendship. And listen, if they do that, listen, one day they may use your stuff to buy somebody else's friendship. All right? Verse 3. The king asked him, where's your master's grandson? What an opportunity for Ziba to tell the truth, but he didn't. He says, Ziba said, he is staying in Jerusalem because he thinks today the house of Israel will give me back my grandfather's kingdom. Now, here's the whole scenario on that. First of all, because we know the end of the story, that's not what Mephibosheth thought. And secondly, Absalom was declaring himself to be king, and he was going to come in. Does Mephibosheth think that Absalom's going to say, oh, I chased my father out, now I'm going to give the kingdom to you? There's no way. There's no way Mephibosheth thought that, but Ziba is lying. He's basically a liar. He didn't say anything like that, and David probably felt betrayed. Because David was there for Mephibosheth at his darkest hour. Now David's at his darkest hour, and he feels like Mephibosheth must have left him. And this is an important thing to understand. Zebas are liars. How many lies does it take to be a liar? It really only takes one. But there are people that have a history of lying. And when you have a history of lying, guess what? That's all that they know how to do. That's their nature. They're going to lie about it. And you know, sometimes some people tell so many lies about a person or about a situation that I've heard people say, well, you know what? There's so much. Some of it's got to be true. Right, like listening to our media, sometimes it's like there's so much untruth going on, and if they overflow you with so much untruth, that sometimes you're like, oh, some of that's got to be true. But does that make any sense? If you tell enough lies, maybe one or two of them are true? Not at all. See, a lying leader is deceptive and manipulative. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Ziba told David that Mephibosheth wanted to steal the kingdom. Right? But he was accusing Mephibosheth of doing to David exactly what Ziba wanted to do to Mephibosheth. He wanted his stuff. Right? He's telling David that Mephibosheth wants your kingdom, but the reality is that Ziba wanted everything that Mephibosheth had. You know how to spot impure motives? You got to look at whatever people's accusations are. Ziba, people that are insecure and accuse, they'll project their motives on other people. Like, oh, you know what? They're trying to get after their money. That all they're interested in is money. And guess what? People that make those accusations, and again, we've experienced this. I'm not talking from some place like I don't know what they're talking about, but people that have accused, oh, all you're interested in is money, guess how they judge other people is by money, right? They're projecting their motives on you because they think everybody's coming from the same thought process. Everybody shares the same values. And so it reveals what their actions are. Like if somebody, oh, you know what, that person just wants my position. Or that person just wants to be noticed. Or that person just wants everybody to like him. You can count on it that that's their motive. Right? When we throw accusations, and I think we need to look at our own heart sometimes and say, okay, what are the accusations that I throw at other people? Because if I'm throwing these accusations, oh, they just want money. Oh, they're just doing this. Oh, they're just doing that. It might be a window into your heart of what your motives are. So God can reveal that to you. Verse 4, let's move on. Then the king said to Ziba, after Ziba lies, David gives in, he believes the lie, and he says, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is now yours. I humbly bow, please. You think Ziba's really humbly bowing? He's probably bowing like this. Yes, I got exactly what I was after. He says, may I find favor in your eyes, my lord the king. He accomplished what he wanted. He got all of Mephibosheth's stuff. And you think about Mephibosheth in this situation. At one point, he was lost, alone, deserted. Then he was blessed by the king. Now an enemy has come and lied about him and stole all of his blessing. He's like, I'm back to the place that I was before. So that's chapter 16. We're going to advance a couple more chapters in this story to chapter 19, where David is now returning back to Jerusalem. Many people have come to meet him, including Mephibosheth. And 19 verse 24, Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes. Everybody say, ew. Right? You think, now, why would he do that? Listen, that is a sign of mourning. It wasn't like I'm just not a very clean person. It's like I am in mourning because of what has happened. And that was an outward sign of his mourning. So he says, not from the day the king left until he returned safely. And so he demonstrated like this has not been a good thing. I was not looking forward to the throne. I was grieving. He loved David. So verse 25, when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king's like, why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth? Like, what was up? What was going on? And he said, my lord the king, since I am your servant, am lame, I said, I'll have my donkey saddle and ride out on it so I can go with the king. But Ziba, my servant, betrayed me. He realized, I don't know exactly how it went down, but like David's leaving. Did he tell Ziba, hey, go get my donkey, get him ready because he's lame. He couldn't walk. He needed somebody to help him. And Ziba probably took that opportunity to like, you know what? I'm leaving and I'm going to go help the king. It was an opportunity. Ziba is a sellout, and Zebas will ultimately betray you. It's just a matter of time before it will happen. They may be in your life for a time, for a season, but when the opportunity happens, they're going to betray you. And listen, you may be looking back at a person in your life, a relationship, and I can be honest and say there have been situations where the red flags were there, and I just thought, oh, it's going to work out anyway. And my wife will probably testify to that. Like, oh, you know what? No, they don't really intend that. I was probably making excuses for character things that were there because I thought they were a friend. I thought they were for us. But eventually, betrayal happened. And you thought, you know what? This would never happen to me. But suddenly, when that happens, you feel isolated, alone, abandoned. And let me just tell you, if you allow Zebas to remain in your life, one day you're going to be betrayed. It's a high cost. It really is. There's a cost to it. Verse 26, he says, Ziba, my servant, betrayed me. And not only did he betray it, he slandered your servant to the Lord, my king. He's talking bad about him. And let me just say this about Zebas. They never handle anything in the open. They don't do things. They like to be behind the scenes. Jesus talked about how to handle conflict, to go to your brother, to work it out. But what Zebas do is that they go to others, they build their case with other people, they spread lies with other people, and try to get things going, right? So Zebas will talk behind your back every time. They're building a case against you, and that's exactly what Ziba did to Mephibosheth. And listen, you can spot a Ziba if they talk to others. Remember what I said earlier. If they're talking to you about others, they're going to talk to you. Wait a minute, let me say that right. If they talk to you about others, they're going to talk to others about you. So just remember that. So be very careful about having relationships that are close with people that refuse to resolve things biblically. If they refuse to do that, the people that talk to you about their problems and problems of other people, instead of dealing things biblically, because dysfunctional conflict will one day come back and bite you. I promise you it will. So let's move to verse 7. This is Ziba's response to David. My Lord the king is like an angel of God, so do whatever pleases you. All of my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death from my lord the king, but you gave your servant a place among those who sat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king? And the king said to him, why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the fields. And so look at this. This is like a little question here. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to take all that land that I just gave back to Ziba, all back to you. No, he split it. And I don't understand why, other than the fact that relationship that Mephibosheth had with Ziba, it cost him. Zebas are going to cost you. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. Mephibosheth didn't get everything back. And this is what you need to realize. Relationships with Zebas will always cost you something. And listen, you may finally get to the point where you discover the truth about them. You may get the Zebas out of your life, but that relationship, however long it lasted, it's going to cost you. It may cost you money. It may cost missed opportunity. It may cost a lot of time and energy. It may have cost you some peace and joy, and you will miss out on some of the blessings because you tolerated a Zeba in your life. Listen, friends, you can't hang out with Zebas because the price is just too high. And listen, my heart breaks because, again, we've been pastoring for many years. We've seen a lot. We've actually pastored some Zebas. Can I just say that? None of them come to Freedom Church. I just want to say that. it's always everywhere else. But we've seen them at work. We've seen them sowing discord. And listen, I've made the mistake of pointing out Zebas before. Right, like, be careful of this person. This is their thing. And let me tell you, when you do that to somebody and you're like, hey, listen, you got to be careful of so-and-so because they do not have your best intention, it will come back to bite you because they're going to see, oh, now you're the enemy. Because a Zeba can be very crafty in their deceit. And they can turn people that away from you that you may have their best interest, but they can be very deceptive. So You got to be careful. Look at Mephibosheth's response. David said, "Split the stuff. Let him take everything. Now that my lord the king has arrived home safely." Remember what I said about attitudes. Attitudes reveal character. Mephibosheth didn't care about the stuff. He's like, you know, stuff, I don't care about it. All he cared about was having relationship back with the king. Now that you're back, that's what's most important in my life. And I think that that's a good point for us. You may have felt robbed by a Ziba in your life. Maybe he's taken some of your blessing. Maybe he's taken peace. Maybe he's put you on a wrong path. But your relationship with God can always be restored. No matter where you are, no matter what has happened, no matter what path you may have gone down, just like Mephibosheth, it may have cost you stuff. It may have cost you years in your relationship with the Lord, but guess what? God wants to restore. God always wants to bring us back. And so as we get ready to close, I want to pray. I want to pray for, and listen, if you need prayer, I'm going to encourage you to let us know. You can send us a private message. You can respond on Facebook or on YouTube and let us know, hey, listen, I need prayer. Because I know maybe you've been listening and you're like, you know what, I recognize I've got some Zebas in my life. I've got some people in my life that really don't have my best interest, and you described a few of the characteristics. I've seen it. I've seen the red flags, and I need to make some tough decisions. And so I want to pray for you. And so listen, if you just need prayer, just say, listen, I need some prayer. You can be specific with a private message, but I want to pray for you. But I also want to pray for those that maybe you're on the back end of a relationship with Ziba, and it's cost you, maybe you're feeling decimated by that relationship, you're feeling isolated and alone, I want to pray that God will restore to you, just as he restored Mephibosheth. So if you will, I want to pray. Lord, I thank you right now that you are a restorer of broken things. Lord God, your word even declares in the New Testament that you have given us a ministry of reconciliation. Lord God, it's your desire to bring things back. Lord God, even though some of these situations in life cost, Lord God, even though sometimes we've gone down the wrong pathway, Lord, there's a cost to it. Lord God, we know that there is a God that loves us and always wants to connect us back to you. Lord God, you want to bring us back into that relationship. And so, Lord, I just want to pray first for those that maybe they have felt isolated and they felt away. Lord God, that they would come back to you, Lord God. Father, that you would restore that relationship, Lord God, just as Mephibosheth and King David were restored into a relationship. Lord God, I just declare that. And if that's you listening online, just say, Lord, please accept me back into your kingdom. And I want to tell you that God does do that. God will welcome you. For others that you recognize that there's some people in your life that are not working for your good, Lord God, I pray for them. Lord God, some of these Zebas in their life are ingrained very deeply. Lord God, the relationship goes very deep. Lord God, I pray that you would give wisdom and understanding and strength, Lord God, beyond measure. Lord, knowing what the end is going to look like, Father, that betrayal is on the horizon, Lord God, I pray that you help them to make good decisions. Lord, where they need to change boundaries in relationships, Lord, we all should have those boundaries. Lord God, where boundaries need to be changed, Lord God, I pray that you give them wisdom on that. And Lord God, where relationships need to end that are unhealthy, Lord God, that you would give that boldness and strength to do that. Father, you are the one that guides us and directs us. Lord, help us to walk that straight and narrow. Help us to recognize those that we have allowed in close, Lord God, that are wanting to pull us away from you. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing over each one. Lord God, that you would guide us, you would direct us. Lord, your word says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of you. And Lord God, I just declare that, not just for my life, but for everyone that is watching online. Lord God, let us see the path that you've laid out for us. Not to be pulled to the left or to the right, but Father, to keep our eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Lord. Lord, we just commit this time to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.